Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend this hour with us, we're very, very, very glad to have you. Decide to start the hour off with a little bit of retro, a little bit of Huey Lewis and the News, because, of course, the power of love is a pretty powerful thing. And that's one of the things we're going to be chatting about tonight. Tonight's show, we're going to be talking about living the life that you love, living a life that you love. And I've got a very special guest on, which I'm very excited about. I've got best-selling author, Dr. Susan Bialy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we're really glad to have you. It was absolute thrill. A couple weeks ago, I got to see you at the Women of Worth Conference, and where you came in absolutely beautiful, as you are, flamenco dancing, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. Way, girl, you know how to make an entrance.
Thank you. It was pretty fun.
It was pretty lovely. And then you talked about your book, and you talked about your journey, and I was just thinking, my God, I have to have you on the show, because it's... You're just amazing.
Well, thank you. I think we have a lot in common.
Well, thank you very much. I like that. Well, let's just chat a little bit in terms of how did you start your journey?
Oh, I started my journey from the worst place possible, actually, which is often where the best journeys commence. I basically followed other people's plan for my life for at least 20 years. And ended up in an emergency medicine residency, got profoundly depressed to the point where they actually asked me to take a stress leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when everything turned around, because I actually had specific instructions from my chief resident to take time off and think about who I really am and what I really wanted to do with my life, which is when I had an epiphany in Cuba and realized that I wanted to become a professional dancer at the age of 28.
And that's incredible, because I grew up doing ballet, so I totally understand at 28, that doesn't usually happen.
No, especially with essentially no prior training.
But you did it.
I did it, and everything in my life started to fall into place from that point onward, because it was a really radical thing for me. I actually resigned from my residency. I got my license as a GP, which I still practice medicine today, and I just started taking dance classes and started dreaming really, really big dreams that everyone around me said were absolutely insane. But the more I took steps towards those really big, crazy ideas, the better everything else worked.
That's so amazing, and I think it's true. I find it interesting that you're saying in terms of the depression, where it's almost like life, if we don't listen to it, it just keeps knocking and knocking until we finally do.
Yep, and I've learned to recognize that faster and faster in my life, because I've had to redirect several times in the 10 years since that happened, and I get a sense of when I start getting sick more often, or when I start waking up in the morning with a sense of dread, or when time goes by really, really slowly when I'm doing something, that's another red flag that perhaps I should be reevaluating.
That's so true, and I think it's really important to remember those check-ins no matter where we are in life, because even if we're happy, like you said, in the last 10 years, there's lots of evolution that keeps happening, and it's really important to keep checking into those checkpoints. What are some things in terms of, one of the things I hear from listeners all the time is just that there's no guys to date in Vancouver. And I was just curious, just even though I know you're married, what your thoughts were in terms of that.
Well, I have really become an eternal optimist, and I really believe that we have a path in life, and we have specific people that come into our lives. I certainly found enough men in Vancouver, not always perhaps people that were the best choices, but then I think they were also teachers that came into my life. Mm. And I personally had a feeling for many years that my man was out there somewhere, and I kept looking for him. I looked for him in Italy, I looked for him in Spain, and I looked for him in Mexico, and finally I found him there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's awesome. Yeah. I really do, because it's just, you never know where you're going to find love. And you were dancing at the time, weren't you, when you found him?
Well, so to speak, I had taken, after dating several men in Vancouver and getting really fed up, just with my own personal choices. It's not at all a judgment on men in Vancouver, just my own experiences that I'd had, which I think were not meant to work anyway, because I've married the man who I meant to
be
marry.
With.
And I took a trip all by myself to Mexico, just me and my computer, because I was going to start working on my book at the time. That was back in 2003.
Nice.
And literally there he was across the pool, and he was actually dancing the first moment that I saw him. He was doing like an afternoon dance. He was the director of the activities team at the hotel.
Wow.
And then that night, he came and sat down next to me in the theater, and I told him I was a professional dancer. I was a salsa dancer at the time, and he didn't really believe me, so he took me for a test drive at the beach party the next day and basically said to me, "You are my queen." Literally, that's what he said in Spanish, and we have pretty much danced together from that day forward. It's been 7 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been quite the journey, and it continues to develop and evolve, but I'm very, very lucky.
What do you think the trick is? Because, I mean, there's even a movie called 7 Year Itch in terms of that, keeping a relationship alive, especially as you get into the long term.
Well, what actually has worked really well for us is giving each other a long leash, or no leash, in a sense, in that, I was based in Mexico for 4 years, from 2004 to 2008, but I frequently flew to speaking engagements, to media appearances. I'd occasionally fly up and work in the clinic. So we always had probably every few weeks a separation for a week or two.
Okay.
So that kept things really, really fresh. We always were like being reunited at the airport, and we would laugh saying people probably thought we hadn't seen each other in a year, and it had only been a week. And now just recently, as you know, we had spent about a year and a half together in the same place since he came up here to Canada, and then he suddenly got this job on a cruise ship in Europe, which I was just devastated by at first, but it's turned out to be a real blessing, because it really shook us both up and made us appreciate each other. And he's actually coming back on June 20th now, but I'm going to see him with new eyes, because I had started to let that uniqueness kind of drift away into kind of the normalcy, the daily routine, where you don't see the other person for the gorgeous, wonderful human being that they are.
Taking for somebody for granted and is one of those things in terms of, I think, a lot of people experience in relationships. I think that women, sometimes we want to fix things, so we want to change things. So something that we might have found attractive at the beginning, it's real easy for us to fall into that pattern of not always appreciating it as much. And
absolutely.
I don't mean you personally, but I just mean as a general statement.
Yeah, I found that to be incredibly true, and really got into a bad place that I never thought that we would be in for the last year and a half, where we were just really kind of losing that that freshness. And I had actually always feared getting married because I thought that would just happen over the years and from routine. But as we've found, giving the other person freedom to take a trip by themselves or take a trip with a friend, still have our own lives, really helps keep things alive.
So it's almost like that analogy of like two grapevines basically moving through life side by side, where each one is a complete thing, but so it's the us that's in between those two things, as opposed to meshing into and entangling into each other.
Yes, yes, and letting the other person continue to be the person that you fell in love with, and that is about being an individual and having their own individual dreams and passions and being unique, instead of trying to kind of conform into some stereotypical traditional image of what a married couple should be like.
And we do have a lot of stereotypical things as well. And it's so different than when we grew up, because I know my mom stayed at home, for example. My dad went out to work. And now we have so many more choices in the world. So there's not those defined roles anymore for men and women.
That's right. And for me, actually, this wake-up call has shown me that I had actually given up a lot of the feminine in the relationship, because I am so achievement-oriented and hard-driving and so passionate about my career, that I had actually been neglecting doing a lot of the kind of wifely things that I think is really part of what makes us women. And I'm looking forward to finding more balance again between the person I am in the world and the woman that I am at home.
And what would you say in terms of what would be a wifely thing?
Oh, even just taking time to make his favorite cake. You know? I mean, that sounds kind of cheesy, but just those little details.
No, I totally understand that, because even before we got here tonight, I actually made my partner, I made him dinner, just and it was fun, because it makes me feel really, really good, and I know that he appreciates it too.
Yes.
And which in a sense makes me feel really good too, and the fact that he appreciates it, and I'm the worst cook on the planet.
You're both.
And he's been supporting me, which has been making me feel really good and encouraging me to explore in the kitchen a little bit more.
Aww. It's funny. It is
it
fun
is.
Who we are. I had a mother as well who was a stay-at-home mom, and my parents were very polar opposites in terms of their responsibilities, and I think that's why I ran so much in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is about coming back to a middle place.
It really is, and also is when you said about the wifely, it's true, because there's a lot of strength in terms of our feminine energy as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And our guys have strength too, and just finding that happy balance between.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I learned a lot from my Mexican mother-in-law and my Mexican sisters-in-law, because the Mexican women, they're very good at being women.
Mm.
They're really it's something that's really celebrated there. So.
In terms of the culture?
Yes. There's a real pride.
Mm-hmm.
And no apologies, and at the same time being strong. It's very interesting, their culture.
Paint me a picture of what a woman would be there.
They are just the hub of the family.
Hmm.
They are so valued, and actually get more valued as they get older.
Hmm.
Like, they really become a matriarch. There's a lot of respect. There's so much respect for mothers. Particularly from the kids and from grandchildren, that whole family really revolves around the woman, and she has a place of honor, and they look after her. Like, the children really, really see their responsibility as looking after the mother, as thanking her for everything that they've done in their lives. There's just a lot of appreciation.
Hmm. And I think that's really important. In a city like Vancouver, do you see that a lot still? Because we are quite a multicultural city. Because I know there's certain cultures here that definitely embrace the woman.
Yes. Well, I think what happens often with the younger generations is that they often want to reject the culture that they came from and really embrace ours, sometimes to an extreme.
Yes, and especially if it's first or second generation sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would hope that, as in most cases with kids, that over time they come to appreciate the really good parts of their culture and eventually come back to honoring them again.
I hope so, too. I think it's really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the secret is in terms of, like, if you could wave a fairy wand and you could go into the school system and teach all the teachers to teach something to kids, what would you like to do in terms of making them for happy or healthy adults?
Oh, I would love to honor them for their unique talents and their creative dreams.
Hmm.
Because that's something that really gets lost in our school system. It's like the electives, the arts courses, are sort of seen as extras.
Mm-hmm.
The arts isn't really seen as a legitimate career. I think many parents often fear that their child will want a career in the arts. And it gets squashed. It's like when I was a child, I was very gifted creatively, particularly with dance. It was essentially ignored. I was also very musically talented and, basically had to beg until finally I got a piano when I was 12. And I was obsessed with music and dance my whole life, and what people cared about was that I was good at math and sciences.
So in other words, really look at your child and really encourage them in so many different ways. So not just at what they're good at, but also what they'd like to try and explore.
Yes, to encourage them in their possibilities. That if a child runs up to a teacher or a parent and says, I want to do this, that rather than saying, oh dear, come on now, you know, let's be more practical or something, go, really, wow, how exciting. Well, you never know. What are you going to do to help you move towards that? How can I support you in that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really, really important, just to really encourage people. And in a lot of ways, as adults, we're still kids at heart.
Yes.
And if you had somebody who is, say, stuck in, say, a 9-to-5 job kind of thing, where they had a mortgage, they've got a lot of responsibilities financially, and they want to make a change in their lives, you've got 7 steps in your book. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend in terms of a course of action? I know each person's different, but in general, because they weren't really happy with what they were doing, but they felt that they were doing it for everybody else, for their family, but everybody but themselves.
One thing that I like to recommend for people to kind of help them find their North Star with respect to their life is to just do an exercise where they write down in a journal or on any piece of paper a description of what an ideal day in their absolute fantasy life would look like, where they would be living, who they would be with, what they would be doing, and it can have absolutely no basis in reality or financial practicality, but just a dream life.
Hmm.
And then to think about what elements of that life are the most exciting to them and how they could take a small step towards it. For example, if they were living in Italy, as I was when I described mine many years ago, they could perhaps plan a trip to Italy or even just go to a beautiful local Italian restaurant or maybe rent a movie about Italy, do something, sign up for a class in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that brings that dream closer to everyday life. Just to add a little bit of light to the corners of your life, no matter what 95% of the rest of your life looks like.
So in other words, it doesn't have to be a big, major jump off the cliff. It can be a bunch of baby steps.
Oh, yeah.
And just exploring and seeing if that's something that you really, really, really want. Just be giving yourself permission to say yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really how I did things. Like, I first went on vacation a couple of times for a week-long trip to Mexico. Then when I started to get this idea about wanting to actually live there, Armando said, fine, why don't you come down and spend a month in Puerto Vallarta in August without air conditioning,
which
is the worst possible circumstances one can live in Mexico, practically.
I was going to say, you love that, man.
Yes, and he made me take the buses as well with
air
conditioning. Like, we'd go for groceries, we'd be lugging all these bags back in non-air-conditioned buses, and I still was just the happiest I'd ever been, and he's like, okay, you pass, you can come and live here.
That's awesome. It's so, yeah, no, it's the total of just taking it on.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, he wasn't actually very happy about the idea. I think the whole thing with an air-conditioned apartment in August was supposed to discourage me because he thought I was totally insane, and he actually resisted me for quite a long time until finally I was basically like, look, either you fly up and drive me down there or I'm doing it myself. And so he got on a plane and he drove me in my little Honda Civic all the way down to Vallarta.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So it is possible in terms of changing a man's mind, like in terms of just encouraging him to jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as long as the motivation comes from a really personal place, and even though I did have my designs on him, I confess, I really was doing it for myself.
Yeah.
So, and he knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I found, as I write about in my book, I, for quite a long time in that relationship, was really focused on what he wasn't doing and what I needed and wanted him to do, and complaining a lot and really playing the role of the victim. And it was his mother, who's amazing, who really pointed out that the only solution would be to just take all the focus off of him and start focusing on my own life. And when I really started doing that, that's actually when ultimately he completely came around and proposed in the Alhambra Palace in Spain and just became another person, really.
But that's the key, I guess, is where you take that focus where instead of taking it on an outside, it's taking it internal and actually taking responsibility and really looking at ourselves in the mirror. And it's like, what do I really see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do I really want to do? What do I have to do? What is my next step? What are the areas of my life that I'm neglecting? That's what I always tell people to do, because as women in particular, we often get caught in a cycle of relationship drama where we're upset and we're crying and we're complaining to our friends and to our mothers and whoever will listen. And often our time could be much better spent. And I've learned, in most cases successfully, to stop myself when I get into that place and go, okay, wait a minute, what do I need to do in my own life? Should I be working on my taxes? You know, like, is there something I need to clean in my house? Have I rehearsed flamenco in the last few weeks? There's usually something much more useful that we can be doing with our time.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. And in regards to men and women, for men that have been reading your book, how has the response been? Has it been similar or different in terms of the experiences you're hearing back in terms of from your readers?
Well, mostly I've heard from women. I think women are the
predominant. We communicate more.
Yeah. I know that my father, for example, who resisted what I was doing as well for a long time. And at one point, when I was commuting back and forth between Mexico and Canada and staying in their home to work as a doctor when I needed money, at one point he just got completely fed up and said, look, you're not allowed in our house anymore until you come to your senses.
Wow.
Yes, and he would tell me life is not supposed to be fun, come on, like, let's grow up, and all of this kind of stuff. Well, you know, now that he's seen the whole journey and everything that I write about in the book, he's actually right at this moment in Hawaii. They're finally building a home there, which they've wanted to do their whole lives, and he's going to write the novel that has been inside him for decades.
That is fantastic. I think as a society, sometimes we don't give guys a chance to do that because they're supposed to be the strong ones, whether or not it's from dating from an early age. Because, well, and actually, at the flip side of that, too, is women have to be strong, but just in so many different ways. Because even though there aren't really supposed to be defined roles for men and women, there still kind of is in some weird way.
Mm-hmm. And I think you've raised something really important because men are more traditionally supposed to be the providers. I don't think that they see as much possibility for fulfilling their dreams or for taking risks, for example, financially or vocationally. And it was very interesting. I was speaking to a group of ophthalmologists from all across Canada and in Palm Springs, and these were, I think there may have been one woman in the crowd, but it was pretty much all men.
Oh, man.
And it was a tough audience. For a long time, there weren't any smiles, there weren't any facial expressions. But when I opened the floor to questions and the first one put his hand up, I mean, I could not even control all of the questions that they had about this. And it showed me that even though they were sitting there and they weren't showing anything on their faces, there was a lot going on inside.
So they took a lot in. It's just they process things differently than we do.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. No, it's neat. They really are from Mars.
They are. And my husband with this cruise ship experience, you know, he has been looking at cruise ship brochures ever since I met him. And I used to get really annoyed when he did it because I knew it would mean several months absence if he ever went for it. And after reading my book, he said to me, well, I'm really thinking a lot more about my life and my dreams now. And I'm so sorry, but I have to do this.
Wow.
And it really was. Even though I freaked out at the beginning when he told me of his plans, in the end, it's just been such a rich experience. Even just seeing all the photos from all the different ports in the Mediterranean that he's been at, like, it's just been fantastic.
I think that's awesome. If you had a couple that had picked up a copy of your book and they were going through the steps, would there be certain advice you'd give them if they were doing it? Of course, it'd be two individual journeys, but because it's two people in the same household doing it.
I think it would be fantastic.
Okay.
I think it would be such a great forum. I would say that both would do it with their own copy of the workbook and perhaps work on it separately and then come together to discuss each section because I think it would be such a great way to compare different perspectives and opinions and also build your dreams together as a couple.
Mm-hmm. Because I think it's important just to see, it's like, where is the lay of the land, what's going to happen? And even though we keep changing, as you're mentioning this, that your husband, like, he's, you know, the cruise ship, that's been something he's been dreaming for a long time, which makes him the man that you fell in love with, too, by being true to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you really encourage people to still do what they need to do, even though there are, you know, even though you love someone and you need to keep checking in with yourself.
And it's really wonderful when you let go of the need to have them do what you feel safe with. Because this was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like letting my husband just go off and follow his dream on a cruise ship around the Mediterranean, like that was really scary. But in the end, our relationship is even stronger for it. And that's such a wonderful reinforcing thing that this really does work, that it's not dangerous to let someone be who they really are. He keeps phoning me or Skyping me from there, and he just cannot stop saying thank you, thank you, thank you.
And that's amazing. Like, just that, it's good. It just builds the love even more.
It really does. And I think this idea of taking a book like mine and working through it together and dreaming together and planning for the future in a fun way, I think we don't do enough of that. Most of us are mostly like, well, how are we going to cover the bills? And, you know, how are we going to pay off the house? And things like that aren't too inspiring.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's true. Well, there's usually one practical person in the relationship, at least. So.
Yeah, and that's still got to be done, but there has to be a real place for dreams and a vision together as a couple.
And playing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so key. And also being able to honor and respect that men and women are different, too. So, and I guess that's one key thing in terms of the books. I think it's fabulous. And I think it's great that you said that each person should have their own workbook as opposed to sharing that and come together and they can share the information.
Mm-hmm.
But that way they're able to work out a lot of the exercises on their own.
Yes. And it would also have to be a safe place for them to talk about their perspectives. Because I think if one person is criticizing or mocking or really threatened by the other person, it can be difficult. But I think if both have sort of a contract about how you would do this, that it's positive and encouragement. And if you have any questions or doubts, to express them, but in a way that's really supportive, not negative.
I think that's really key, and it's especially important in terms of communication. As couples, we tend to, it's interesting because with sex, a lot of times we encourage people to negotiate, and it's one of those things that with relationships, especially in the BDSM community, I've always found interesting where they've really focused on what the boundaries are. This is good, this is not okay, and I've really encouraged every couple to do that because I think it's really, really key. But it's even more important to do that in all aspects, and also just keeping check where it's just like, when does that change? I've got some friends who are couples that after every year, actually for their anniversary, they actually go through and it's like, okay, what's working? What do we want to change? And almost thinking of it almost like renegotiating a contract, which, so instead of taking somebody for granted, I know that sounds terrible, where it makes it sound more like a business arrangement as opposed to love, but actually going, this is working really well, and let's change it. So sometimes having to change the rules, because as we evolve, sometimes that stuff changes too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I want to do is to actually give my husband more of a leadership position in our family, because I'm very strong and very independent, and I'm, you know, I was single for a long time and I'm really used to running my show. But I think that again, this is part of balancing more of the feminine again, that I'd really like to give him more of his place as the head of the family.
Which empowers him and makes him feel good. And I'm going to quote John Gray, because I just had him on the show last week, but I think that actually helps in terms of refueling his testosterone levels. Yeah, it was basically in terms of about a lot of oxytocin and testosterone, where as men and women, we're depleted of that a lot these days.
Yes.
And there are certain behaviors we can do, as well as like just as well as what we eat in terms of keeping hormonal balances happy and healthy. And sometimes in terms of just honoring men the way they need to be honored.
Yes.
And they in turn giving them permission to honor us the way we need to.
Yes.
And each couple's different, but it actually helps replenish for women our oxytocin levels, because we need to take care of people. It makes us feel good. And for guys, sometimes with testosterone, letting them feel like the man. So
yeah.
Whether or not that's giving them the bat cave time. So
yeah.
Sitting in front of the TV sometimes and letting them kind of chill out for a little bit before going in, like, for example, when they come home, where it's like, hi, honey, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, like letting him have his time while we're baking a cake or making dinner. So then he gets a chance to decompress with his day, just because they've got different needs and different hormone balances than we do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I really feel that we're coming as a society in general, our culture, we're coming to a much better place with that, because the pendulum kind of swung from one extreme to the other.
Oh, yes, where we tried to be men. And, yeah, even though we can do it well, we don't have to.
No, and my goal right now as well, you heard me talk at WOW about how I had just been so really excessively focused on my career, and particularly the launch of my book in the last year and a half, that I really didn't have a whole lot of downtime, because I think intimacy and a relationship really thrives when you have that kind of deep relaxation and just spells of time with no agenda where you're just relaxing together and you really relax, because I don't think I've actually relaxed in the last year and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
Even, I mean, I had moments here and there, of course, vacations, things like that, but to really make a commitment to just reaching a real deep state of relaxation and fun and play and making a real priority on those things, I think is just going to do wonders as well.
Mm-hmm. So what would you recommend for people who are really busy to actually get that sense of play in their lives, like in terms of finding that balance?
Well, something that I just decided today that I want to do more of is I want to have more days where I have not even one single thing planned on my agenda.
Wow, sir.
Yeah, that I really want to start doing that aggressively.
Mm.
For example, this weekend is coming up, and I have something to do on Saturday night, and I think I have something on the Sunday. Yes, I probably have something on the Sunday, like social things. But other than that, I'm not planning anything, and I want to plan more evenings and more entire days where I just have nothing, and I think that that alone can really help you just reach a whole different space about, oh, what do I feel like doing now? And what do I feel like doing now? Do you know what I mean? Like you're just sort of more, much, much more present and relaxed, and your day can become whatever you decide you want it to be.
I totally 100% agree with that. My partner and I have actually been doing that since December, where unless I'm at a workshop or something, usually our Sundays are our day where I actually don't turn on the phone, and I won't let myself check my Twitter or any of my email. So it's the one day of the week where it's our day where we just spend it together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because when we haven't had that, I just don't feel balanced when I start my week on Monday. It's quite interesting how much I value it.
And how good for the two of you as a couple. And I don't think that there are many people out there who are spending that time of time. And it's because you're an expert on this, obviously. That's part of why you prioritize it. But many people could learn from you.
Well, thank you. Well, they can learn a lot from you, too. You're an incredibly inspiring woman, so...
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because I think it's awesome, because just in terms of just encouraging people to be passionate, because I think it starts with self. And going full circle back to in terms of dating in Vancouver, I really do think that sometimes if we're not happy with ourselves, it's really hard to find somebody else. And we start looking for somebody else to make us happy. And especially as a woman, for myself, I know for a long time I kind of, you know, was Cinderella, where I was waiting for somebody to find a glass slipper and put it on my foot and make my life absolutely magical, because I wanted happily ever after, instead of actually looking at me, realizing that I could do a lot, but I also had to take that time within, if I wanted a relationship, I actually had to make time for it.
Yes, absolutely, and even more importantly, as you've just said, time for yourself as well and for who you really are, because that is why I think that Armando was immediately attracted to me. I was very much in my power, in my joy. I was dancing professionally by that point. I was passionate about my writing. I was a professional freelance writer as well. Like my life was really full already. I was a complete person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really attractive. And I remember also a psychologist told me once that men are fascinated by women who are independent, who travel by themselves or who take a course by themselves, who go out into the world and are strong and really present and confident in that way.
I think it's true, because I think confidence, that's the key word in there. Confidence equals sexy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And when you do what you love, when you're passionate about something and when you're having that be a significant part of your life, that gives you so much self-esteem and confidence.
It really does. And it's one of those things, like when we were chatting about earlier, in terms of sometimes where we'll blame outside forces for things, but when we actually look at it and it's like, what's going on here? How can I change what's going on in my life? And whether or not it's keeping a gratitude journal or really taking stock, like you did in terms of with your career as a doctor, where you changed things and evolved, included dance, and started embracing things and really asked yourself, what do I love and what would I like to do?
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, I think it really, really changes things. And it, like you said, it's sexy and your hubby, loves it. So, which is really, really key. And I think all of us need to do that, whether we're men or women.
Yes, and I think one of the things that happens as well when we do get into a couple is that we'll often start compromising
yes.
those things. We'll stop doing them, but we'll stay home instead. And obviously there has to be a balance because you do need to spend time with your partner. But often we end up not being that person anymore. And then we're not as happy. Then we look to the other person to make us happy. They're not as happy because we're not that same person anymore. And it just kind of spirals down.
It really does. It gets in that vicious cycle. And then it's just like, why are we here? Why are we doing this? I love this person and I don't want to treat them that way. And I hate mm-hmm. the way they're treating me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the word compromise is kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine line between negotiation, and it's kind of like going to the video store with somebody sometimes where it's kind of nice to let them take you on a date where it's like, okay, this is your responsibility today.
Right, right.
And with the video store too where it's like, okay, honey, you can have the action movie tonight, but next time I get the romantic comedy.
Yep.
Because then it balances, and there's been a lot of times in doing that where I've seen movies that I would have never picked out for myself
mm-hmm.
that I've actually counted among some of my favorite movies now.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that we can really do for the other person is when we deliberately, without them even asking us, do something that they know is not high on our list. Like I did the same thing the other day. I think it was the movie 2012 that I brought home, and he was just like jumping up and down in the kitchen. And that's even a pretty watchable movie, but yeah, the action stuff. I mean, any time that you do something that they know is a sacrifice, but that you're recognizing that it's important to them, that mm-hmm. just means so much. I think particularly for men.
I definitely think so. I think it makes them feel special,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's key. I know for my partner, I try and pick three things every day that I do because I love him.
Wow.
And if I do that, it just keeps everything really, really balanced. And I find he does the same thing for me, too.
Yeah.
So even little things like if I'm coming home late because I'm working late, you know, heating up dinner for me so it's warm when I come in, you know, meeting me at the door with a hug or vice versa, I do the same thing, make his lunches sometimes. And we do a lot of that kind of stuff, too, because it's important. And there's certain things I automatically do. And it keeps things happy, but it's really important for us, I think, to balance and include those time in for those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I found it as well to be particularly useful when things are tense or there's been a fight or something. This is a new thing that I've read about and am putting more into action this year, and this is the concept of loving and respecting the person even if they do not deserve it in the moment. And it's very interesting, the results. Like, for example, if we've had an argument or some kind of disagreement and things are a little tense, I would do something like if his clothes were in the dryer, he does his own laundry, I would take them out and I would really neatly fold everything and put it into a beautiful pile for him. And he'd come in and, like, can you imagine? He thinks I'm mad at him, and he mm-hmm. finds, because I'm not very good at folding laundry normally, so that was a really significant act of love. And all of a sudden, he'll turn to me and go, you know, you are just so beautiful today. And it's just like, it's just magic. Just those little details, especially when they do not expect them because you're supposed to be mad at them.
I think that's awesome. And also, I think it's really key, too, in terms of those little things where it's saying, I love you, even though we're not totally getting along.
Mm-hmm.
And for the listeners out there, that's, I just want to reiterate, I can't say that word, reiterate, there we go, enunciation, that it's not, it's basically just taking ownership and still loving somebody in spite of, and this is not to be done in abusive situations.
No.
Just to clarify.
Yes.
So. Just because we never know what people's histories are, but it's for healthy relationships and trying to keep things healthy. I think it's really important. Like you said, even though we're mad, and the other key thing too is when we're doing things as well, also keeping an eye and not expecting, just doing it because we love them regardless.
Yes, with no agenda and no expectations. Like maybe they'll say that you're beautiful, maybe not. It doesn't matter. You just do it for the sake of doing it. And absolutely, that's. When, as an expert speaking on things, it can be challenging sometimes because we don't always have the opportunity to address certain specific situations like abuse, like people who don't respect your boundaries. I mean, there are certain situations where something more serious needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, for most relationships, if it's just taking care of you, and also acknowledging as well that if you do something for somebody, like doing their laundry, if acts of service is how they like it. I love the five languages of love. That's one of my favorite books. With that, it's really key, where that may not be one of their things. If it's, say, they love getting gifts, they may not react as strongly, whereas if an act of service is one of the ways that they like to say that they love you, that is going to be one of the ones that it will affect them big time, where it's like, that feels really good.
Yes, yes, so, you're absolutely right, because I do know that my husband really values that kind of stuff, particularly since I don't do it much.
And so, when you do it, it's like you writing on a skyscraper or a sky, whatever those things are where they go across the sky and they actually write, I love you, in really, really big, big clouds.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's super key. So tell us a little bit more about the book. You've been on your U.S. tour, and I'm so excited that you're on our show tonight. So it's good to be back at home.
I am excited to be home. The book, actually, my publisher is in New York, and quite naturally is very U.S. focused. So it was a bit of a struggle to get the book up into Canada. So during the publicity campaign, we focused mostly on the States. The book's now up in Chapters Indigo, and it's on Amazon.ca. And I'm really excited about speaking to the Canadian media about it, though after the whirlwind U.S. tour, I'm certainly going to just pace myself a lot more. That's something that I've really learned from all of this. I spoke about it at WOW, that the reason my flamenco-Mexican journey went so well is because there wasn't any model for it. And so I really had to go on intuition and just my heart, and one step after another. But, you know, being an author, there's a very strong model for how you're supposed to do it, especially in this age of everything being through the internet. And so you basically could promote 24/7. There's no end to it. So after a very intense year and a half, I'm deciding to just let things happen a lot more organically, and do things like this right now, where I'm sitting at home and my little dog is at my feet, and I'm in Vancouver and on the radio in Vancouver. This is great.
Well, we're glad to have you. It's awesome, and I'm glad you're home. So.
Me too. Me too. I love the tour, though, but as I said at the conference, the tour was what I had always really envisioned for years when I thought of being an author, and I ended up doing a lot of other things in the last year that people told me I should do, and unfortunately by the time I got to the tour point, I was already pretty burned out.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to do it for as long as I would have liked to. I had so much fun touring and speaking to the media about it in so many different cities. I really could have gone on indefinitely. It was just an amazing experience.
I think that's fantastic. When did you realize that when you're on your tour that you need to start looking at things and just looking at it organically? Because you're saying that you're burnt out, what was there, like, one really key point where it was like, okay, I know this is the model, but this is what my gut tells me is right? Like, was there a certain event that just triggered that, or was it kind of ongoing where finally all of a sudden there was that wake up where it's like, aha?
Well, I came to the point where I had to make a really difficult decision, and that's that I had a publicity contract or plan set up for the tour that was for 4 months total, and we were reaching the end of it, and it was just at the time that shows like the Today Show and Good Morning America, CNN, they were starting to communicate with my publicist about getting me onto those shows, and I had to decide whether I wanted to initiate another publicity contract to go on and do at least another month or more. Wow. And I could just really feel in my body that I was just starting to get so tired. And also this fact that my husband had all of a sudden, 2 weeks prior to my tour ending, I had really been putting off our relationship as a priority for a year and a half. And I was supposed to finally start making him a big part of my life again when this tour ended. He was just wonderful in accommodating all of this. But then when all of a sudden he got yanked and ended up in Europe just as my tour was ending, that really made me think, wait a minute, I have to be very careful that as much as I have these huge goals and could potentially have this amazing success, what really matters to me in my life and what really matters to me is my health and my husband and having balance. And if I don't have that, I'm a hypocrite. It doesn't matter if I'm on the Today Show. So I just decided to get back to just being me and having a balanced, happy, healthy life, because that is, for me, what has always worked.
And that's so important. Mm-hmm. And that's what you preached, and I love the fact that you went back to it, where it's like, okay, still, what is it that I need to do? And you still did that check-in with yourself. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And it was like, okay, this is what I need to do for me.
Yeah, and I would really like to think that anything in life worth doing can be done, mm-hmm. and have a balance maintained simultaneously. We have this work ethic in North America where, where the 24-hour entrepreneur is seen as a great hero, who often ends up divorced and, you know, the rich but lonely, the whole story. And I think that not that many of us have actually tested the model of having big dreams but not running at them full tilt,
mm-hmm.
and letting them unfold more and taking slower steps and keeping that balance and keeping time for people and then seeing what happens.
It's true. I think that's really, 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 really key. And I think it's one of those things where it's constantly asking, it's like, what do I need to do for me at this moment,
mm-hmm.
and not letting that go. And I'm so glad that you listened to your instincts and went to that.
Yes, I feel very fortunate, mm-hmm. because it could have easily gone on for decades. There are many people for whom they're focused on money, they're focused, mm-hmm. on achievement, and they don't even notice that their personal life is dissolving around them. And then at one point, they'll usually wake up, and it might be a health scare, it might be loss of a person. They wake up and go, like, what have I done?
Mm-hmm. And when that happens, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It really needs to. And so it's really cool that starting it right from the get-go, which is why every listener out there, you should be buying this book. It's really important. And really checking in and seeing what those 7 steps are. And even once you've gotten to where you are passionate and happy, because we're, as human beings, we're evolutionary. We never stay the same. So always checking in with that. And I love the concept of having the partner do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's really key, because hopefully you can continue evolving together, even though, of course, the way life works, things go, it really ebbs and flows.
It does. Mm-hmm. And I think what I like about the book, why I designed it as a guide to creating a truly complete, mm-hmm. and fulfilling life, is that I addressed all these different issues in my own life and now for others to do for theirs, and that, mm-hmm. being who you really are, how to listen to your body, nutrition, relationships, creativity, the spiritual, the divine, moving forward in your life, taking action, all those things are in there, because I really believe that you can't have a complete life without every single one of those elements.
No, you definitely can't. You need all of that body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once we are complete, and not to say that you can't go looking for love until you're a complete person, but that just acknowledging that we're always evolving, but at the same time really doing that really hard work that's not always as fun. And sometimes it can be fun, but just knowing that it's part of the process, and that you owe it to yourself to do that work.
It is, and I find now that even though it still sucks to have a crisis or to be having a really bad week, month, or year,
mm-hmm.
at least now I have an expectation that something fabulous is going to come out of it, the next level, the next insight, and life becomes really a great adventure and kind of like a really fun game.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice because you've got a process with it as well, because sometimes I think that's a scary thing where it's like, okay, as it's a fun game, as we keep evolving, it's just trusting in that process, because,
exactly.
And so even if it doesn't feel so good now, it's like eventually it's going to flow into the next thing, because you've,
yep.
got a system, you've got those 7 steps where it's again keeping revisiting and seeing,
mm-hmm.
where do I need to go here, because of course we keep going in circle after circle after circle.
Yes, it's like a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Actually, that was one of the things you mentioned at WOW in terms of it, where, and I'm going to paraphrase you very badly, but just that life will keep knocking if you don't listen to what it has to say. Like you're saying yourself, like you're getting sick for a little while and things where it was like your body was telling you, Susan, you need to slow down.
Yep.
And I do the same thing, and I think all most of us do, and it's so key, and I love the fact that you've got a system that works.
It does, and I use it myself even to this day when crisis hits or when my life starts really getting out of control. I just get all those ducks lined up in a row again, and it just helps so much.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause if you don't, you don't have anything.
No, and that's how I used to be. I just used to be, my life felt like I was drowning.
Hmm.
And life over the last 10 years has changed so much that that's why I look back and ask myself, okay, how did I do this? How did things change from being so bad to so good? And that's when I narrowed it down to these seven critical areas that were essential.
Wow. Susan, what's next for you?
Oh,
that's a big question, I know. But
oh no, I love that. That's my favorite question. Even though I don't quite know the answer. I know that another big sea change is coming. It's going to be really exciting to have Armando come back.
Mm-hmm.
We're off to Hawaii at the end of June.
You get to see your dad.
Yes. they rented a little apartment while they were building the house. So now that apartment, they're going to let us stay in it for free. So we've got a place taken care of. And yeah, just to get some real downtime together and start dreaming about the next phase of our lives. I know that at some point I would love to be based in Mexico again.
Mm.
Mexico is going through an interesting time right now with the whole drug situation and everything. But I know that after this year and a half of craziness, I'm going to tone things way down, and we're going to get back to a simpler way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there have already been book agents talking to me about writing my next book. So,
nice.
So that's going to come for sure. But I'm also going to let that just come organically. I'm not going to write some formula book that they think I should write. I'm going to see what the next chapter brings and how I can help people.
I think that's fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you. I
forget, and I know they can go to the our website as well in terms of, because I've got a couple links to you, but if you want to mention your website, so in case somebody wants to get some more information, that would be wonderful.
Sure. The easiest way to get to my website is to go through www.livealifeyoulovebook.com. Mm. That goes to the book page of my website, and then they can navigate from there onward.
I think that's perfect. And on that note, for those of you who do follow us on the website, which if you don't, you should sign on to sexyfitness.wordpress.com and just actually check it out. And because we do contests from time to time, and we are giving away a copy of the book. So as of Monday, we've had people Twittering, we've had people sending messages, emails, and commenting on the blog. So the winner of a copy of Live a Life You Love is Karen Cherniak.
Oh!
Who had some really nice comments to put on the site in regards to where she actually got to hear you speak, which I thought that was really cool at WOW. And I thought that was really fantastic. So, Karen, we will be emailing you in terms of getting a hold of you in terms of getting a copy of the book to you.
Yay! I read her comment. It was so amazing. Congratulations, Karen. Enjoy.
Thank you so much, Karen. And Susan, thank you so much for doing everything that you do and being such a truly amazing woman.
Oh, thank you. My absolute pleasure. It's really fun to share it with the world and to try to make a difference, however small or big.
It makes a huge difference, and I think it's very big for so many different people. So I think it's really, really key. And you're going to continue to do that. So I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
And getting some downtime too, which is awesome.
Yes, let's all get some more downtime.
Definitely. Which on that note, I am going to wrap the show. Up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. And he's going to be guiding us into the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. So you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night. Bye-bye. Hey, Susan.
From 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666.
Oh, okay.
Or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
Basically just making sure you've got this on. Answer it here, like to pick it up with the receiver, but you grab this button first. Mm-hmm. Then when you're ready to pop them on air, you can put them there. And then turn them on. So a lot of times I'll just have this up first. Oh. So yeah. So that was cool. Yeah, I've got all these book authors on lately, so. Uh-oh. Baron, why can't I find my second time marker?